League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Don't want to do it anywhere else. I've said it over and over again. I'd probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else. You know, I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life, and it's the Raiders.
Man, I feel bad for Derek Carr. That, the voice of Derek Carr earlier this year saying that he was going to be a Raider for life. Well, he was released yesterday after declining to waive his no-trade clause, and just before more than $40 million of his contract would have become guaranteed in Vegas, I guess Carr has to retire now. Carr will turn 32 next month. Only one team was interested in a trade for Carr, and another team wanted him to take a pay cut. So now he is on the open market. What's up, everybody? It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on this Wednesday, February 15th of 2023. Fun show ahead. Jim Irsay made some comments about the quarterbacks in this year's draft that maybe mean the Houston Texans should trade up into that number one spot. And I think most importantly, at 11:15, Evan Drellick of The Athletic, who wrote a lengthy 300-page book about baseball's sign-stealing scandal, will join us to talk about it. And some interesting details, not just about the Astros, but about the Yankees and Dodgers that I saw via PDF version of the book last night. So 11:15 for that, and we'll talk about some of the details from that book at 11. But let's start with Derek Carr. He's available. Derek Carr is amusing to me. He is a quarterback that has shown he's rather emotional at times. He is a quarterback that, despite being raised in Bakersfield, California, but I guess spending a stint in Sugar Land, has developed a Southern accent. He is somebody that I would find very entertaining, at least as a personality on a largely irrelevant, largely anonymous Houston Texans roster. I mean, you hear an exchange like this between him and another person named Paul. Why wouldn't you want him to come and join Houston?
The expectation, all that kind of stuff, who says that? Honestly, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Whether they don't say anything or they say a lot, nobody cares. Hopefully they talk about us at the end. You know what I mean? Like, but right now, that crap don't matter.
It doesn't matter, Derek. Why do you talk about it and why do you care?
Thank you, Paul. It's so good to see you. I say it because I'm a positive person. And I try and it is. And I try and encourage my teammates. There's a way that I say things to encourage my locker room, to maybe put a chip on their shoulder. And sometimes I do it too much. And so I don't appreciate your tone either. You can pump that back a little bit.
Sounds like Rip from Yellowstone along the way. I don't appreciate your tone right there. Yeah, Paul, there's a way that I do things. I want to have him on the roster mainly so that we can get some confrontational sound bites between him and perhaps me. But ask yourself this question. Should the Houston Texans just pick up the phone and make a call to Derek Carr, who is going to be a free agent? I think they should. You have to make a call. You got the cap space to make a short-term deal work. Would he want to take said deal? That is another question entirely. We're going to see what his actual market is in free agency next month. If Carr, though, is available, without having to trade draft picks. I think you have to pick up the phone, and here's why. Because this does not mean you can't draft a quarterback. It gives you, I think, flexibility with that first pick. Maybe you can wait to draft a quarterback later than that second overall pick. Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, if you really want. You don't have to draft one of the top three quarterbacks if you don't like it. And obviously, that could be taken out of your hands at that number one overall pick. Say the Colts or another team trades with the Chicago Bears and takes Bryce Young or Will Levis or C.J. Stroud, one of the consensus top three quarterbacks. We don't 100% know who's going to go first overall in this year's draft, at least at this point. Bryce Young's size is the reason that we're in this fog, if you will. But the second reason is, wouldn't having someone like Derek Carr at the very least as somebody to play in the interim give you a, one, more entertaining product on the field next season, but two, not put you in a position where you have to put the young quarterback in right away? It'll suck for Carr if Carr comes in here and the Texans draft a quarterback after he comes in here. But this is a guy who's been here before, who knows ownership because of his brother, David. I don't hate the idea of making a phone call. Salary, who knows what he's going to ask for. If you're not trading draft picks, though, why not have this as an option? That's all I'm asking. You get to answer that at 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Rainman1999 says, make a call, yes. Sign him, nope. I mean, is it so bad to have the guy on the roster? We've seen quarterbacks signed in free agency, like Matt Flynn back in the day with the Seattle Seahawks, only to get supplanted by the rookie quarterback by the end of the offseason. That could be something that happens. But with the interior of your offensive line the way that it is, with questions about your first-round draft pick last year, Kenyon Green, and real uncertainty about what you're doing at center and at right guard, do you want to have quarterback X, Y, or Z, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, coming into the NFL with large 6'4", 300-pound humans breathing down their neck as soon as they get into the league? No! Let Derek Carr be that guy. And is it so bad to have two Carrs be sacrificial lambs as quarterbacks here in Houston? Although, I mean, you didn't really get anything out of David getting the bejesus beaten out of him, did we? And David just got smacked around. It never really got better for the organization, did it, Sean Mames?
You got Mario Williams, I guess.
Yeah.
You got Andre Johnson.
You did get Andre Johnson. First year. Right. Like, you wouldn't have Andre Johnson if David Carr didn't take that beat. You know?
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. Andre Johnson. How about that?
Now he gets to be on NFL Network defending his brother.
Ooh, I like that.
Have you seen him on Twitter, David Carr on Twitter?
Yeah, he had an all-time bad take, so I'm not really acknowledging him right now.
Oh. But I respect that he defends his brother. Like Derek Carr is like a top five quarterback.
He said Peyton Manning's the best ever quarterback too. So like that's just absolutely stupid. So.
Yo, yeah, because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Sean is trolling me. It is early in the show. It is the Paul Gallant show.
Might be a record.
Yeah, that's 11 minutes in. You're on notice. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Z Versace Z says, you already have a cheaper quarterback you can use as a bridge. Davis Mills, shut your mouth. We're not doing that again. I want someone more watchable. You deserve someone more watchable. Derek Carr is better than Davis Mills. Do you really want to go with Davis Mills next season? Now I'm angry. Sean started the ball rolling. Now it is careening downhill at 125 miles per hour. You Davis Mills people need to be sent to a gulag. You are bad, bad people if you want to go through that next year. You are. Anyway, that's on the table. Should the Texans at least make a phone call about Derek Carr? Plus, Jim Irsay had some very interesting comments yesterday at the introductory press conference for head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Shane Steichen. Has to do with Bryce Young. You'll hear those comments next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to the Paul
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 11:15, Evan Drellick is going to join us to talk about his book that reveals the details of baseball's sign-stealing scandal. There are some juicy tidbits about the Yankees and Dodgers, which is all we wanted. But first, the question. Should the Houston Texans pick up the phone and make a phone call about Derek Carr? We've got Javier calling in on the HRNP listener line at 713-780-3776. Javier, what's up, bro?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I agree with you 110%. You can pick up the phone, and if it doesn't cause us any draft picks, why not reach out and talk to them? Because, you know, I agree with you, you know, with, you know, the way the draft is going, and it sounds like they want to go for Bryce Young. He's not the biggest guy, and we don't exactly have the best offensive line to protect the guy. So I have a feeling it's going to be, you know, RG3 running for his life all over again, Deshaun running for his life all over again. You got to have an offensive line to protect, you know, your franchise quarterback. And, you know, if we're not going to get the offensive line to defend him, you may want to get a veteran in there who may have experience with that. So, no, I agree with you 110%. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Javier. Yeah, bring in Derek Carr to be the meat shield. People were so pissed at the beginning of the 2017 season when the Texans began the year with Tom Savage under center. But at halftime, they went to Deshaun Watson of that season-opening game against the Jacksonville Jaguars because things were bad. The reason that they did not go to Watson right away is because, and I quote from someone that I trust in the organization that might know a thing or two, the Texans had the worst offensive line in the league going into that year and throughout that year. The worst offensive line in the league. They are not the worst offensive line in the league now. You have Laremy Tunsil, you have Titus Howard. But in the interior, it's not ideal. We can compromise. If there are people out there who want Bryce Young, I have a solution for you in just a moment. He doesn't have to go right into the fire. I'm not saying that there is a blueprint for quarterback success in the league. I think a lot of people like to point to Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith as if that's what teams should do. Mahomes was always significantly more talented than Smith, and they probably could have turned the page a little bit quicker, if we're being perfectly honest with the Kansas City Chiefs. But they didn't. They waited, and I mean, it's been a great start. 5 AFC championships in 5 years, 2 Super Bowls, 2 MVPs, 3 Super Bowl appearances. But that is a unicorn-esque beginning to a career that could someday be the greatest quarterback career in NFL history. The potential is open. The guy is in his 20s. You have to, at the very least, think about it. I feel like over-under right now for Patrick Mahomes as far as Super Bowls has to be set at 3.5, and I would pick over right now. I think he's got a chance at 4, assuming he plays well into his 30s. Injuries can happen to everybody. Mahomes, though, seems to have done a great job to this point in his career avoiding contact. He's super elusive as far as quarterbacks go. Okay, guys. Yesterday, Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, had an introductory press conference for someone who could have been the Houston Texans head coach, Shane Steichen. In said press conference, you knew that Jim Irsay was going to say something that would be entertaining at the very least. As the press conference wore along, Irsay said that the Colts, need a young quarterback and mentioned a quarterback that he likes.
We're not hiding, you know, no one can shy away from the fact what quarterback means in this league and how we have to look going forward, where Shane and Chris really, you know, dig into this draft and really see where you're at. Do you stay put? Do you trade up? You know, there's many things you can do. They took Jalen in the second round. So,
trade back.
So, he likes
that'll
picks.
That'll be a Twitter freaking quote.
He likes picks, although the Alabama guy doesn't look bad, I tell you.
I think we all agree that on paper and based off of what we've seen from the highlights, Bryce Young does look like the best of these three. Consistent compared to, I would say, especially Will Levis. Consistent for the most part compared to C.J. Stroud of Kentucky and Ohio State, respectively. Some people came away from that press conference, though, freaking out that Jim Irsay is going to press the code red and demand that Chris Ballard trade up into that number one overall spot. I'm very curious as to how much independence Ballard at this point in his career has. One of the things that people do, I think, in their careers is at certain points you think to yourself, you know what? I got to accommodate the boss. If Ballard wants to stick around as the Colts general manager, this might turn into I'm going to do what Jim Irsay wants. So people are concerned that, okay, there might be a bidding war to trade up into that number one overall spot. The Bears have committed to Justin Fields, at least publicly, and seem to be shopping around that number one overall pick, unless they want to take Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, the two other guys who are thought to be potential number one or number three overall picks, not playing quarterback. It's probably going to go like Bryce Young and those two in the top three. If they do trade up, there's the danger that all of a sudden the AFC South once again has a quarterback that's going to just bully the Texans for years and years to come. Here's my take on the whole thing. I'm going to say this a million times in the coming months. No one actually knows which of these quarterbacks will be good and which ones won't. We all have a gut feeling. Let's all admit to ourselves, it is a gut feeling. Because we've had many gut feelings about quarterbacks coming out of the draft in the last however long you've been watching the NFL, right? So there's so many online people right now, confident people that like Bryce Young's the guy, some for CJ Stroud, Will Levis. And look, the majority of those people who are pushing for one of those three quarterbacks are going to be wrong. One of those three will probably be a plus to great quarterback. One will probably be serviceable and one will probably suck. That's generally how it goes. And when you're attaching top 10 expectations to a quarterback, I mean, you are judged a lot more harshly than you would be if you were drafted in the second or the third or something like that. The only take that I really have about these quarterbacks at this point in time is that I want the Texans to take a guy they really love. And if it means trading up to that number one overall pick to do it, then bleeping do it. Some online are like, I don't know if I want to trade into that number one overall spot. In the grand scheme of things, if you love a prospect and the guy ends up working out, the risk is worth it. The juice is worth the squeeze, to quote a very underrated movie, The Girl Next Door, Elisha Cuthbert. Ooh. Remember that episode of 24 when Elisha Cuthbert was in a standoff with a cougar? Season 1 of 24. Does anyone remember that one? Yeah, that was a bad episode, but hey. We're focusing on the Houston Texans and what they do at quarterback right now, right? I feel like they should be totally fine trading up into that number one overall spot. And I also think they should make a phone call to Derek Carr. But I want them to do what they want to do. I don't want there to be this great pressure publicly by people who think they're in the know but honestly aren't to take Bryce Young, Will Levis, or CJ Stroud. And you're going to get a lot of it. And when they do make that pick, there's going to be some people, whether online or on these very radio waves, that are going to say, it's the wrong pick. Like you don't know. You can have an opinion on it, but I think ultimately you have to put like a very small fine print next to it. Like, but I don't actually know. We're just being honest here. You know, if we are to talk about this in a authentic way, let's admit that first. And if they like a guy, do you not trust Nick Caserio at all to evaluate a quarterback at the top of the draft? Just think about some of the quarterbacks that they brought in New England over the years. Garoppolo was serviceable. Jacoby Brissett was serviceable. Matt Cassel was serviceable. Brian Hoyer was serviceable. Ryan Mallett had a good arm. Did not have a good ability to beat his alarm clock, which I tell you people, that is a problem. It's hard to get out of bed in the morning when you're an NFL quarterback making millions of dollars and maybe you have a flight to catch for a game, but then you forget and you're like, well, it's fine. Or maybe in training camp when you're in the middle of a quarterback competition and you're like, yeah, well, you know, I can press the snooze button once. It'll be fine. That poor Ryan Mallett. Poor Ryan Mallett. Great arm, though. Great arm. One of my favorite moments of Mike Mayock's career in broadcasting was when Mike Mayock basically had been told by Bill Belichick to market Ryan Mallett on the NFL Network. It was so transparent. It was so obvious. And he's like, yeah, his arm's got a lot of pop.
and the Texans has only ended up like trading a sixth or a seventh. And there are some people, I think, that were believing that the Texans would have to trade a like third or a second round pick for Ryan Mallett. Okay. But you should be willing to trade up into that number one overall spot if you're the Texans. And you shouldn't get pissed off if they do it. If they like the guy, let them take the guy they like. What a controversial take, Paul. Sean, it appeared you had a thought just a moment ago.
It was about Ryan Mallett.
Thoughts?
He has more he has more interceptions than touchdowns in his NFL career.
Well, I mean, when J.J.
Watt... But a lot of pop.
Your best receiver. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. A lot of pop.
Yeah, there was. Hey, the thing about the tall quarterbacks, there is a happy medium between too tall and... too small.
Too short, the opposite.
Yeah, I think, you know, we saw Brock Osweiler here. How tall was Brock Osweiler? 6'7"?
I think so, yeah.
He had a really weird delivery. Ryan Mallett, it was the same thing. Whenever Ryan Mallett threw a ball, it was like the Death Star was, like, firing something. Just an absolute laser. Laser, laser. Pew, pew, pew. And you also have, you know, a point where it's you can be too small as a quarterback. It seems like the happy medium is, like, that 6'3 through 6'5 range. Because, who was that guy that the Broncos drafted? Paxton Lynch. I think he was 6'6", too. Like, there is a argument to be made that you can be too tall as a quarterback. Because you have long arms, a slower delivery, perhaps, because of it. Just a thought. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's not all about height, ladies, said the man who was sitting with his cat last night watching episodes of The Wire that he's already watched on Valentine's Day. Texting people that haven't texted him back in years. He's not sad. He's not depressed. He didn't drink a whole bottle of wine last night. No, he would never. He's fine. He's fine on his own. Paul Galacho. Coming up next, we go around the NFL. Jim Irsay had something else to say about Shane Steichen that does make me wonder if we're going to be looking back at the Texans choosing D'Amico Ryans over Steichen and maybe made the wrong choice. Plus, Aaron Rodgers... with more Aaron Rodgers-ing and some smack talk between a Super Bowl winner and loser. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush. Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We go around the NFL. So, Shane Steichen is officially the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. And we found out that Steichen is going to call offensive plays. He was the Eagles' offensive coordinator. Will continue to do so and talked about how we're going to have a system that's dictated by the quarterback, what Michael Pittman does well, Jonathan Taylor. I'm told, and Sean, sorry to throw you under the bus on, throw you on the spot really quickly about this one. We had another clip from Jim Irsay from the press conference, correct? Jim Irsay is one of those guys who, yeah, whenever he talks, it's entertaining. And this is what he had to say about Shane Steichen during the press conference yesterday.
What we learned in the end was that we just felt that Shane had a lot of that offensive magic, which is hard to find in this league. It's offense, in my mind, can be a little more complex and takes a longer time to develop. Knowing that we're going to have to find a young quarterback to develop, that's a key factor.
I think the big question that we're going to be asking ourselves years from now and not have an answer. Shoot, we'll ask it now. And we won't have an answer until years from now. Did the Texans make a mistake in not hiring an offensive mind here, given that we believe they will take a young quarterback in this year's draft? That's something we're going to be thinking about. Because if Steichen makes this thing work, like it seemed he made this thing work this past year with Jalen Hurts and a lot of weapons in Philadelphia, they have good running backs, they have a good, great offensive line, they have great wide receivers. I think that's something we will be asking about. But that's why they brought him in. Offensive mind. Jonathan Gannon, officially the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, too. Another potential Houston Texans coaching candidate. Aaron Rodgers joins the Pat McAfee show every single week. And Aaron Rodgers, in the most Aaron Rodgers tone possible, had this to say because he is not on his darkness retreat quite yet.
Listen, I'm not in my darkness retreat yet.
What?
Oh, and yesterday.
What?
Nope. This thing has been planned for about 4 months, and it was always the same date, always the end of this week.
Oh.
So anybody with knowledge to the opposite of that, it's fake news.
Whoa.
So let me just reiterate one more time. There's an inner circle, right? And in my inner circle, nobody talks to Ian Rappaport, to Adam Schefter, or to any of those people. Okay? So if you're one of those people who's talking to those people, it's a great reminder for you, you're not in the inner circle.
Oh!
Damn.
That was hanging on somebody there. Yeah.
And if anybody else is out there saying stuff, or if they're just making it up, which is also, those are both likely, just stop with the fake news.
Aaron Rodgers bringing the word fake news back and bragging about how his inner circle is airtight. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
I will say fake news doesn't quite have the same heat on it when it's a guy talking about that I will be going on a darkness retreat tomorrow, but I am not on a darkness retreat now. That is fake news. Hits a little bit different than when our former president used to say it.
100%. Also, there was a tone with which he said it, which I found amusing. I know some people got mad about him. Look, there were moments where he was embarrassing, but was he not entertaining? Can we all agree on that? I mean, the world's terrible. Everything's getting worse and worse every single day. We may as well have just complete, you know, a sideshow act to entertain us along the way.
He's doing a great job of being entertaining without being, like, very likable. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like we can... Like, that's the line that he's kind of walking. It's like, yeah, this is, like, entertaining. I'm, like, it's interesting and it's kind of funny. But at no point am I like, you know what? The more I hear from Aaron Rodgers, the more I like him. It's very much, once he started talking a lot more, it's like, this Aaron Rodgers guy kind of sucks.
Well, while we're on hearing more Aaron Rodgers, Sean, let's hear more from Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show.
I'm not upset about it. Like, it's the classic media, you know, trying to be first, not trying to be right. And the problem is there's a slippery slope. So let me just remind everybody out there listening. When somebody says something, whether it's Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Anthony Fauci, Joe Rogan, myself, anybody. Question it. If it's legitimate, it can stand up to questioning. So question things and then think about them and contemplate them in your own time and try and figure out what seems most likely to be true based on your own intuition and feel and conglomeration of fact. But no one in my inner circle talks to those people. I don't talk to those people. I don't have their numbers. I've never met them. And... listen, I'm doing a darkness retreat later this week. I'm excited about it. I didn't realize how much it would take off.
Of course it was going to, because you're the most extra quarterback out there. And the reason that people generally jump on Aaron Rodgers' case whenever he opens his mouth, even if he does occasionally make an interesting point, is because of this condescending, mansplaining stuff. Dude, stop. You're not as smart as you want us to believe. Much like Kyrie Irving, the yin and the yang. You guys talk out of your ass a lot, but do it with this confidence that should not be as smug sounding as it is. That's why they both suck.
Just because they watch some YouTube videos and they go, question everything. Not like, with the idea of questioning everything, it's like, at a certain point, Aaron Rodgers, hey, Aaron Rodgers, listen to me if you're not in your darkness retreat already. Listen to me. I'll teach you a little thing. When you just believe, like, when you just question everything and you come to your own facts, you're just going to believe what you already want to believe.
Exactly.
You're not going to actually learn anything new.
Exactly. You can question things, but should you question everything? You can question things based off of the intelligence that you have, the knowledge that you have, but it doesn't have to be bleeping everything. Like the dumbasses with the Damar Hamlin clone story.
Well,
like, stop. The people that did that, those are the people that have taken it too far. There's a happy medium. And Rodgers is like telling people to question everything when it comes to, well, actually, I was going on a Thursday instead of on a Monday. Like, shut up. Shut up.
That's the funniest part. That's why I left it at the end.
Right.
It is that like, this question was just about, he's on a TV or on a YouTube show right now. Obviously, he's not on his darkness retreat, but he is like, I am not on my darkness retreat. I will do that when I get off the phone, like in 30 minutes. I am not. So Rappaport and Schefter, they're liars. They're agents of misinformation.
Fake news. I mean, it's so. Technically, they're right. They just don't have the timing right. So, okay, you're not on it. Congratulations. But, jeez, he remains the most insufferable, which is saying something considering this is a league that also features Kyler Murray. Anyway, to continue with our around the NFL segment. You know what? I'm going to give Juju Smith-Schuster some props because I find him to be wholly lacking in talent when it comes to his TikTok game. Like doing the same dance over and over again for 15 seconds to the song Corvette, Corvette, which is objectively a garbage song. Anyone who likes that song, like at least the Pantera people, like at least I feel like I would get like in a good fight. Like those people. And there are other songs by Pantera other than Walk, the one that triggers me.
I was going to say, at least they have albums.
Right, exactly. That Corvette, Corvette song is literally a steaming pile of dog bleep. It is awful. It is bad. And that loser, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's made a big following on TikTok. And y'all call him a loser, although he did just win the Super Bowl, so I guess I can't really call him that anymore. But Juju Smith-Schuster dancing along to those songs and then getting absolutely lit up in a game against the Bengals after doing it was delicious to my soul. It really was, okay? I don't like him. But he's making progress online because he posted a Valentine picture of Eagles cornerback James Bradberry. And it had this to say, Happy Valentine's to everybody. I'll hold you when it matters most. I feel bad for Bradberry. Bradberry's owned it. Like, yeah, I held. Is this piling on? Yes. But guess what? It's progress for Juju Smith-Schuster as an online brand. It's actually somewhat creative. Did he create it himself? Well, obviously not. But is it creative? Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. When you win the Super Bowl, you're allowed, like, I don't know, like five just completely out-of-pocket tweets that you could not get away with unless you won the Super Bowl. This is one of them where it's like, hey, this is like kind of, this is a lot. But also, you're the leading receiver on the Super Bowl winner.
You can do that. He is allowed to do it.
Also, at least James Bradberry's not actually catching that much heat, I feel like. I feel like most of the anger is directed towards the refs for calling it. And Jonathan Gannon. It's a little different than like if he posted that about like Joseph Osai or something where people were like starting to feel bad for him, like preemptively.
Yeah, that's
true. Think like Bradberry like owned it. No one's actually mad at Bradberry himself, so.
Right. I mean, shoot, I think more people are mad at Juju Smith-Schuster today based off of some of the quote tweets. A.J. Brown was one of those guys who quote tweeted it. Wide receiver, former Tennessee Titan. Yeah, but this was actually a good clapback. First off, congratulations. Y'all deserve it. This is lame. You was on the way out the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on your one-year deal, TikTok boy. That is factually correct. It is.
I mean, he was a free agent.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're out of the league.
He was a free agent for a while.
Was it? I mean,
1 year deal. He is not as good as he thinks he is as a wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster. A.J. Brown actually is a good wide receiver. The problem is A.J. Brown lost, so this is all hollow. And he continued saying, he admitted he grabbed you, but don't act like you're like that or ever was. He's right about that, too. But congratulations again. It is a bit butthurt.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you win the Super Bowl, you can
do what you want.
You can tweet that. But, like, that's fine.
But I like that A.J. Brown did clap back because those other parts of the tweet, you know, inside the butthurt sandwich are facts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just compare that to, like, Eli Apple's, like, 48 hours of just quote-tweeting everyone. Just one little meme that you didn't even make.
Man.
That's like, okay, this is an acceptable amount of trash talk.
I really wish Eli Apple was in the Super Bowl.
He should just be able to, like, just be on one of the Super Bowl teams every year.
Can the Texans trade for Eli Apple? Like, I really want, like, the Texans to go 2-15 and Eli Apple still talking trash. Like I just want that.
Lining up against the number one receiver.
Yeah, just, he gets beat for like a 70-yard touchdown, but then he like shows one play where like the receiver drops a pass. He's like, yeah, bitch, I stopped you. All right, baseball's making some rule changes. We're going to decide whether or not we like him next. Evan Drellick joins us at 11:15 to talk about his book that details everything that went on during the great sign-stealing crisis of baseball over the past half decade. Don't go anywhere.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Baseball is about to make some rule changes. I consider Gladiator to be one of the best movies ever. I don't know how many people have seen it. It's top three. Braveheart and Gladiator, I go back and forth on which one is my actual favorite. Anyway, guys, baseball's about to make some rule changes. And I've always wanted to cosplay as Commodus. Clean shaven now. I could definitely pull that off. Look a little like Joaquin Phoenix, huh? We're going to determine with a thumb up or a thumb down whether we like some of these rule changes that baseball could be bringing in. But first, here's a PR statement from Theo Epstein, who's in charge of bringing these rule changes to baseball.
Fans should be excited about baseball's changes in 2023 because they're designed to give fans more of what they like and less of what they don't like. Action. They love a faster pace of play. They love athleticism. They love doubles, triples, stolen bases, great defensive plays. And all these rules in testing in the minor leagues have created more of that action, better pace of play, more athleticism, more stolen base activity. And then less of what fans don't like. You know, fans don't like dead time. They don't like 30 seconds between pitches. They don't like long periods of inactivity on the field. And with the pitch timer and some of the other rules, we've seen a dramatic decrease in dead time on the field. So I think the things that fans love most about baseball, players in motion, action, athleticism, suspense, drama, seeing the ball put into play on a regular basis, all those things are just going to be enhanced by the new rules, and I think it'll reach a point where you don't even notice them. You just see a better version of baseball on display each night.
So all of those things I agree with. I also like the jaunty music in the background.
Yeah, add that to baseball.
Let's have that all game long. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I mean, it just sounds like cocaine. Not that I would do that because it's illegal. I'm just saying it sounds exciting. It sounds like Miami. So here are some of the rules that have been changed. Baseball's shift has been banned. Two infielders must be positioned on each side of second base when a pitch is released. Furthermore, all four infielders must have their feet positioned in the infield cutout in front of the outfield grass. Do we like this or do we not like this? I don't like this. Kill it! And here's why. People are still going to make a shift. I saw in an interview that's on, I think, 670 in Chicago, where what's going to happen now to make a shift happen, left fielders would move to short right fielder to be an extra infielder slash super utility player. Second baseman is going to move essentially right next to the first baseman, but he's going to be playing very deep in the infield. And the third baseman is essentially going to play in between second base and shortstop, with the shortstop as close to second base as possible. And that third baseman is essentially going to be tasked as being a outfielder as well. So you're going to want people with like range to potentially do that. So there are ways to still do the shift with the shift being illegal. That's why I'm out. It's going to be too hard to do it. Honestly, the shift does suck to an extent, but it's been a part of baseball before. I think it's kind of weird that we got rid of it now, even if it maybe was overused.
I will say, though, the one time where it's like a shot the other way and the third baseman has to like just haul it all the way into left field, that will be worth it, I feel like. Just the idea of Josh Donaldson having to chase down a fly ball that goes right over his head. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Just the one time a season that that happens. Or
see, the good thing for the Astros is, like, I mean, Bregman's a damn good third baseman, and he is pretty athletic, so you actually could pull this off.
And the Crawford boxes.
Ooh, that's
less, not as man, hard to run. Like,
the Astros can do this, and I bet you will see the Astros do this. All right. Do we like this rule or not? Pitchers will have 15 seconds to make a pitch when the bases are empty, 20 seconds when there's a runner on base. There's a 30-second timer between batters. If a pitcher takes too long between pitches, he will be charged with an automatic ball. Hitters must be ready to hit with 8 seconds remaining on the clock. Otherwise, they will be charged with an automatic strike. Pitchers can step off the rubber twice per plate appearance. Hitters get one timeout. In. So in. Live. 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 I've been pushing for this for years, and not just the pitch clock. I have been pitching, I've been pitching for hitters to get punished for stepping out of the batter's box. That was supposed to be illegal a couple of years ago, and they just never enforced it. So now they actually have a way to enforce it. Here's what sucks is that I could not figure out whether or not this is also going to happen in the playoffs. It shouldn't. This should be a regular season versus postseason thing. Regular season games need to be quicker. They just do. Postseason games, I have no problem with the length of the games. But the regular season games, like, come on. Let's speed it up a little bit.
And they already have different rules for the postseason and regular season with the extra runner and or the runner and extra inning. So having different rules for the postseason and regular season isn't new to baseball.
That is true. Another rule that we have, Sean Mapes behind the glass. The new bases are bigger. Here's what Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, had to say about the bigger bases.
Bases, they're the bases, you know. Wait till you see them. They look like a pizza box, to be honest with you. I mean, I get it, 4 inches. That's huge.
Wait a second. What was that last part? Phrasing? Is this?
I get it, 4 inches. That's huge.
4 inches, that's huge. You know what? Alex Cora is making a lot of people feel better about themselves today. But to focus on the actual...
Especially on Valentine's Day.
The day after Valentine's Day. It wasn't your hugeness that's the reason you're single, guys. Anyway, the base paths have been shortened by 4 inches. The bases have increased from 15 square inches to 18 square inches. And as he said, they look like a pizza box. In or out? I'm in on this one. Live. 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 You know why? I want to see more stolen bases. I like stolen bases. They're fun. Pitchouts are great. 4 inches, I don't know if it's that big of a difference, but there will be more guys attempting stolen bases now.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge for Alex Cora. Baseball's extra inning rule, starting the 10th inning and beyond with a runner at second, will be a regular season staple from here on out. Sean and I are both in agreement on this. Live. Love it. I love that one. Look, it's not the postseason, right? Starting with a guy on second base. There were moments during that 18-inning Astros-Mariners game where I think we all can agree that we would have rather been watching college football. So it's not like this should be thrown entirely for the playoffs going forward, but just saying.
It is pretty, like, fugazi, just that they just put a guy on second base. So I get why, like, in the postseason that'd feel like what are we doing here? But in the regular season, yeah, give me these Oakland A's games. Get me out of there. Like,
yeah, seriously. The A's games.
I think
I don't want to hear the stupid drummer and the seagulls.
Most of my opinion on, like, shortening the extra inning games comes from the Astros playing in the AL West, where I feel like every series or every two series with a team like on Pacific time where the game starts at 9 o'clock, I feel like, yeah, like 10 times a season that there's just going to be a 12 inning game that ends at 1:30 in the morning. It's like, get those out of my life.
Get them out. Get them out. All right. Last one. Baseball plans on calling more balks. They only called 122 in 2022. It's the fewest since 1973. Luis Garcia is expected to change his delivery because of the new rule. He rocks his arms and takes two sidesteps before throwing. Kill this one! This hurts the Astros! kill, 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 kill. So there you go. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Evan Drellick is going to join us at 11:15. We're going to talk about his new book detailing the great baseball sign-stealing crisis. In the next segment, there are some juicy details about both the Yankees and Dodgers, which we will discuss. Paul Galancho. First, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. If you own your home, you got to listen up and grab that phone because our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you big savings and you won't even have to talk to an agent. How about that? You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. It's not a hassle anymore thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a new system that instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. You'll probably save a bunch of money too. So take your phone right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back. You'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect. Their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.